Maximum Health with your host, Dr. Ken Gray. Dr. Gray obtained his master's in both acupuncture and oriental medicine from the Atlantic Institute of Oriental Medicine. Dr. Gray enjoys both being a physician as well as being an educator. His unique approach to holistic healing has taken him abroad to lecture in Germany and treat sports professionals in Hawaii and France. He is co-author of several books on food therapy. His office is in Jupiter, Florida, where he has practiced for over a decade and where he resides. Now it's time for Maximum Health with Dr. Ken Gray.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Maximum Health Radio, Quality Living with yours truly, Dr. Ken Gray, holistic physician. We thank you for joining us every week on 88.9 FM, WQCS, NPR of the Treasure Coast. And as always, we have a wonderful guest, and today we are especially celebrating the amazing Davey Gabbard, who is our representative here in the state of Florida for the Susan G. Komen and you know, obviously we have the biggest event, if not the biggest event, is the Race for the Cure.
Yes, January 28th.
Yeah. So it's interesting play on words, because we are still, after all this time, racing for the cure.
We are.
Specifically in the case of Susan G. Komen, breast cancer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're the only organization of our type. There are a lot of amazing breast cancer foundations and charities out there. We're proud to be a sister charity to them. But Susan G. Komen is unique in the fact that we approach breast cancer from every angle. We have our community health programs, which are funded through affiliates like Komen South Florida, where I'm the executive director. We have our national, international actually, research portfolio. We are the single largest funder of breast cancer research in the world, second only to the U.S. government. We participate in lobbying and advocacy initiatives at our local, state, and federal governments to increase availability to affordable care for patients. And also, we have international efforts where we're partnering with huge international NGOs to try to get access to screening to the most at-risk men and women in the world. That's what makes Komen South Florida unique. And in the last 35 years, we've raised almost $3 billion. Over $920 million has been spent on research, and over $2 billion has been spent in community health programs.
That's huge.
It's huge.
Very huge.
Yes.
Quick question. How much traveling do you get to do a year to see what's going on in other states?
I'm really lucky because I've been with Komen for almost 12 years now, and so I do get to go to a couple conferences a year. Mostly they're national conferences,
right,
where we're educated and inspired to continue our work. And then I work with the sister affiliates here in the state of Florida. So we have an affiliate in Jacksonville, one over in Tampa, one in Orlando, one in the Fort Myers area, and one in Miami-Fort Lauderdale.
With your interaction here versus other states, where do you feel people sit in terms of their idea of breast cancer and where it was maybe even 10 years ago?
Sure.
Which relatively is a short space of time since women have been acknowledged with this right to fight.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That there's knowledge out there that this is a real problem, that there are, you know, needs to be support systems and care and
absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's been an interesting I've observed that, you know, the breast cancer movement has ascended along with the women's rights movement. So if Nancy, I think, had tried to start what she did 50 years ago, we might be in a different place, because women's rights and women's positions, especially in the U.S., is dramatically different, and was even different in the 70s than it would have been in the 50s.
And from area to area, right?
Yes,
state
and
to
from
state.
Area to yeah, area, yeah. State to state. So what we find more than anything is people still need to understand basic breast health and be empowered. You know, what do we know about breast cancer that we didn't know 30 years ago? We know that there are 8 subtypes of breast cancer. There's not just one breast cancer. And so while we are race for the cure, we talk about finding the cures, because we know there will be multiple approaches, because there are multiple types of breast cancer. Mm-hmm. We know a lot more genetically than we knew before.
Right.
What has happened is, you know, when Susie Komen, who the organization is named after, when she died from breast cancer, they wouldn't print the word breast cancer in the newspaper. You couldn't say the word breast
Wow.
Out loud. And so we've come a long way.
Well, if you don't say it, it doesn't exist.
Exactly, exactly. And if you just ignore it, it'll go away.
Right.
So the fact that we're actually, you know, that breast cancer is a household name, that people want to talk about it, that people are so involved in coming out and supporting our efforts, is a huge cultural shift that we've observed in the last 30 plus years. But we still find a lot of folks don't want to talk about it. They've grown up in homes that have a culture of silence and stoicism. We don't talk about those kind of things. We don't talk about our private parts. We don't know our family histories. And if you do, don't say anything about cancer. We don't talk about those things in our family. It's not appropriate, or it could be considered a curse, or you could be ostracized by members of your community because of the disease. So we're still seeing a lot of that.
Or even in some cases worse, although admirable, it's, I don't want my family to worry about me.
Yes.
I don't want to distract from the everyday ongoings of life. I need to be strong for them.
The superwoman complex. Yeah. I have to do it all. I have to work. I have to take care of everybody else.
Which adds to stress, which adds to cortisol levels rising, which adds to pressure and disease and inflammation and more cancer.
There you go. Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of it comes back to, you know, for everyone, focusing on yourself and your health. You have to give from your abundance. We're vessels.
Right.
And this is my personal, what I call my kumbaya. Kumbaya.
I like it. Go with it.
We have to give from abundance. You have to take care of yourself. But we're in a community where we're taught that makes you selfish.
Society at large.
Society at large. That makes you selfish. That makes you self-centered. That makes you uncaring. Even though on the flip side, we glorify that type of behavior in our celebrities, and we can't read enough about how many egomaniacs we admire in our community. So it's a very strange set of messages that we're giving to our society.
As long as we do not have these conversations, you know, it may not be clinical, it may not be scientific, but if we continue to ignore, we probably will continue to go down the same path as far as disease.
Well, don't they say that's the definition of insanity?
Yeah,
doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Yeah. And you know, all we're doing is naming new syndromes, new types of cancers and so forth. But the female, the woman, I truly believe this is the backbone of all. I mean, that's where life comes from.
Yes.
So if we don't really look at the progress or the lack of progress in disease and cancers in women, then of course it's, you know.
Right. Exactly.
The end product is, you know, inevitable.
Yes. Yes.
So, no, I respect where you're going with that. I think it's important that we do start to acknowledge this theoretical, philosophical aspect and be more conscious.
Yes.
As well as the scientific community. I think, you know, I love the fact that there are doctors out there that take pride in their progress in the testing. And you mentioned the word genetics, and some people don't really realize the importance of genetics and what that means. It's not just figuring out the cure based on the genes or saying you're predisposed and this is it for you.
Right.
It's actually being used in a proper way for early detection.
Yes, get in front of it.
Right. So if you have early detection, you can take measures. Now, those measures may not always be surgery, which seems to be what, you know, most of the mainstream media says, oh, if you have it, then this look at this star, what this star did,
exactly.
Or, you know, this movie star. But it can be lifestyle changes.
Absolutely.
And definitely should start with lifestyle changes.
Right. Yes. You have to maintain a healthy lifestyle.
Yeah. What are some of those that you educate on with Susan G. Komen?
Well, maintaining a healthy lifestyle, being active, maintaining a healthy weight, limiting your alcohol consumption. And being active. That's one of the reasons why the Race for the Cure is so great, because it's a 5K walk or run. You get to be outside in the sunshine with fresh air. We're really lucky because our Race for the Cure is right there on Flagler Drive.
We have
one of the most beautiful venues in the world.
And the mega yachts.
Yes, and the mega yachts. It's a great view. But you have the earth, you have the water, you have the sky all coming together. This is one of the healthiest places in the world to live because of the trade winds and the I can't think of the name of the current, the
The Gulf Stream.
The Gulf Stream and the trade winds. So this is one of the this is one of the healthiest places in the world to live because of
really fortunate.
What I believe comes from those patterns, those vibrational patterns.
And we've become a destination, like almost like for health tourism.
Absolutely.
If there's such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's last I read it was a multi-billion-dollar industry.
Yes.
Health tourism, where people travel to different states or countries for certain health concerns because mm-hmm. they want the best of care.
Absolutely.
That may not be offered in their general area.
You know, and we do have that here. There used to be a notion that, you know, what happens if you get diagnosed with a serious illness and you live in Florida? What's the first thing that you do? You get on a plane and you fly north, and
right.
and that's not the case anymore. We have world-class care down here, and we have options for world-class care.
And many of these northern facilities now have affiliations here with actual, physicians that have moved.
Yes, absolutely.
To raise their families here and practice here,
exactly.
which is interesting. So,
yes,
and we definitely have the technology.
They finally clued in. I think technology has a lot to do with it as well, and the internet technology and our ability to share information so freely. You don't have to be, tied to a specific desk mm-hmm. and a specific building to do your work.
Mm-hmm.
So, the information sharing that we are seeing and that we are encouraging between medical institutions mm-hmm. and researchers is really exciting because they can share their information. They make each other stronger. If a doctor has a hunch, they can talk it through with one of their peers and go back to their labs and and work on it. That's one of the things that is exciting about how Komen approaches our research portfolio.
Right.
We know that research funding is being cut dramatically by the U.S. government, and also as a result of the recent recession, there's been a lot lower investment in research through philanthropy. And so we are at risk of losing an entire generation of early researchers to the bench. They're leaving because they can't get funding for their research.
Hmm.
And if they leave the bench, research bench, we could lose an entire generation of scientists. So one of the things that Komen focuses on is the entire career life cycle of a researcher to make sure that we are investing in these young researchers as well as these world-renowned researchers so that we can keep the research going. And the boldest and the brightest scientists in the world mm-hmm. Are working on breast cancer research.
I hear strength, I hear education, I hear funding, but that's all sort of this under this umbrella of empowerment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
It's not only that you're empowering through the Race for the Cure, which I want to get a little bit more into that,
sure.
but I want to touch base on the empowerment through almost a sense of saying, okay, we're not going to wait on the government, we're not going to wait on this, we're not going to wait on that. We can do this.
Right.
We have the resources. If everybody else wants to focus elsewhere and be selfish and da-da-da-da-da,
yes.
we can get together as women and men.
Mm-hmm. Men are at risk for breast cancer, too.
Yes, and their husbands and mm-hmm. their sons and their
yes, yeah.
and their brothers. And,
yes, the whole family. It's a family disease.
So this race and fundraising, all that, it involves men as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, it's important that you have a support network. It's important that your family have the resources they need to process their own feelings. And help them work through a healthy outcome for themselves so that they can support the patient and still function. It's one of the scariest things in the world to hear that someone you love has been diagnosed with breast cancer. There's a typical type of grief cycle that comes with that. And then the first step is, of course, shock. And, you're in shock when you hear that someone or yourself has been diagnosed. And then you're suddenly flooded with tons of information and lots of complicated words and then choices that you have to make while you're still hearing, I'm going to die, I'm going to die, I'm going to mm-hmm. die, I'm going to mm-hmm. die, I'm going to die, or my mom is going to die, my mom is going to die, my mom is going to die. And so to have that support network is super important. And there's a whole new, you had asked earlier about what are new things that we're seeing.
Yeah, well,
there's a whole
off
niche.
Here, I did want to get into that because I have several patients that I've treated over the years. Some have done really well with conventional medicine, mm-hmm. but sometimes there's reoccurrences in
That's
a
right.
shorter space of time than they would like or anyone would like, because you don't want a reoccurrence, especially if you do quote unquote all the right things.
Right.
And by definition, for most patients, it's whatever your oncologist, your radiologist, the IS tell
mm-hmm.
you to do.
Yes.
And I have a partner in cookbook series, Carol. We've done shows before. We've done cookbooks. She's a cervical cancer survivor. Mm-hmm. She had her ISTs, all the different people, yeah. but she chose her path. And to this day, thank God, she is, I think, going on 7 years cancer-free. She chose to do the surgery. She didn't do the chemotherapy mm-hmm. radiation, but she did change her lifestyle. And she mm-hmm. has been adamant about keeping to those. Now, that's hard.
Yes.
And for most people, they say, you know what? I just don't want to deal with it. I don't want to worry. I want to put my life in someone else's hands. Mm-hmm. So where do we see ourselves going forward when there's integrative medicine? It's conventional. There's this, that. And what do you choose to do, especially if you do all the right things and it comes back?
Right.
You know,
right.
Where do you go from there?
Where do you go from there?
Yeah.
I know, you know, I know a lot of breast cancer patients, of course, and I have one of our volunteers. She's a lovely woman and she does everything right. And she was re-diagnosed stage 4. But she, you know, she's focusing on just living every moment to the fullest. And she's doing really, really well. In the last scan that she just had, she's cancer free. You know, whether you consider yourself a survivor from the day you were diagnosed, which
right.
is what we use in Komen parlance, but some folks say from the day that they had their surgery, some say from the first time they were cancer
right.
free. Are you cured or are you cancer free? Are
right.
you in remission? Words are a very powerful, I believe, part of the equation as well. What you're choosing to say.
Very true.
Right, because.
Yeah.
You
call it my cancer from the get-go. If you say my anything,
yes,
you're owning that.
You own it.
So I have to correct so many patients. It's not yours.
It's the cancer.
It's just something that is going on that you have to rectify, that has to be rectified and has to be corrected.
Yeah.
Right?
I think a positive outlook is, and, you know, managing stress, I think, is a huge part. And, of course, for so many different types of disease,
right.
stress is a big part of it.
And you mentioned diet too. I think so many people, like you said, they'd say they do the right things, but
mm-hmm.
most conventional doctors, physicians, oncologists, they don't talk about nutrition with their patients.
They don't have very much training
right.
in it
they
as
don't.
Well,
and
right?
We need to change it. How is that possible? How do we change it at the education level of these physicians? I mean, it's
that,
a question. I
yeah.
know I'm not asking you.
I know I'm with
asking
you
everybody.
Right there. Nutrition.
You need to ask these questions.
Invest in nutritional education
I
doctors.
Do it. You know, I do it. That's what I do for my patients.
Right.
But I don't get to see. I'm not a part of the general protocol of
right.
an oncologist, you know, okay, see this person. They'll say, go see the radiologist. They'll say, do this, do that, and
mm-hmm.
chemotherapy,
mm-hmm.
whatever. But they will rarely say, find a good holistic physician or
acupuncturist. Yes.
Or, you know, and
right.
they'll say, just eat whatever you want as long as you're eating.
Well, some of the cancer medicines make people so sick. It's
yeah.
just if you can keep anything down, keep
exactly.
it down, you know?
Yeah.
Again, I think it's foods that contribute to inflammation. And, of
okay.
course, being more alkaline,
yes.
We know that that's a good choice. You know, I think everyone has their path. And, again, this is me, Davey. This,
right.
isn't me speaking on behalf of Komen. I think you have your path. I think you have your choices to make. And I think it just depends on how open you are. And, you know, that there are layers and layers and layers of learnings,
yes.
things that have been put on
us
that we've
only
accepted
go so
from
far.
The time we were a child. Yes.
You as a patient can only go so far as you're willing to go, and a physician can only go so far as the patient is willing to go.
Or
the physician is willing to go.
But don't you think it's an interesting dichotomy, though, that we talk about stress,
yeah.
and that's sometimes when people start to focus on managing their stress is when they have one of the most stressful things that could happen to
yeah.
you in your life,
yeah.
being diagnosed with a life-threatening illness.
Yes.
That's pretty stressful, and that's the time when a lot of folks stop and go, oh, I need to manage my stress.
And I try to encourage more physical involvement, because
mm-hmm.
the more you sit and say, okay, I'm going to manage my stress, I'm going to think about Matt. It's like focusing on the elephant in the room.
Yeah,
it's
just
like
move your body.
You can't. Yeah, just got to just get out.
Body.
Go into nature. Go to the race for the cure.
Yes, go to the race for the cure.
Which is when and where?
January 28th, Saturday morning, January 28th. Registration opens at 5:30. The mm-hmm. women's 5K starts at 7:30. Men's 5K kicks off at 8:15, and then the walkers start at 9. And then we have little 100-yard dashes for our tots and our kids as well. And if you are not a runner or a walker, you can come and be proud in the crowd and just people watch and enjoy the green market, because that's also going on Saturday mornings downtown. enjoy the people watching. The metaphor for me of that day, because of the beauty of our venue, and of course the sun rises over, you know, over the island, and then it's a brand bright new day. Everyone has come together. It's really a happening. The whole day concludes at about 10:30 with our survivors ceremony. All of our survivors are wearing pink t-shirts. We reserve those for them. They come to the middle of the Meyer Amphitheater, and we play music. They come on stage. They celebrate. I will survive. I'm a survivor. Wind beneath my wings. We honor those we've lost. We celebrate those that we have. And you will see every kind of person you can imagine. You're going to see young people. You're going to see old people. You're going to see newly diagnosed, bald-headed. You're going to see women that have been survivors for over 30 years. You're going to see black, brown, white, every color in the middle. You're going to see men. You're going to see hope and inspiration, and you'll see that positive knowing that you can survive, and not just survive, you can thrive. And you know, it's an amazing experience for those of us that support the organization or work there, just to see that moment and know that what you do matters. And that women and men can survive this disease. They do survive this disease, and they can go on to thrive. And then they choose to give back, which is also, I think, a huge part of the healing.
What are some of the numbers of attendance, people attending?
We're expecting about 10,000 registered participants, and then another probably 2,000 supporters. We also have a lot of folks that come down because they're at the Green Market for the day. So we would love for them to make a gift or register to participate, because this is our single largest fundraiser of the year. But for me as well, it's also the single largest breast health educational event in the year as well. So we want people to come down and have a good time, see how successful the outcomes can be if you are diagnosed with breast cancer, learn more about breast cancer. We have a huge mission center where all of our local providers and grantees will be there. You can get information. We're going to have an enormous kids zone that's being sponsored by Lesser Landy and Smith. I got to give them a shout out for that, because they are pulling out all the stops for the kids.
Beautiful.
So it is an event for the whole family to come down and enjoy. And this will be my 12th race. Every race is unique and different. Everyone is wonderful. They all have their own vibe. And it's a super positive experience.
You were telling me earlier on in conversation off here about there's 8
subtypes of breast cancer.
Yes, but also I think you mentioned there were 8.
Oh, 8. Yes, 8 survivors, our warriors.
Coincidentally.
Yes, oddly enough. Yeah. We actually use the integer 8 because 1 in 8 women in the United States will be diagnosed in her lifetime with breast cancer. So we identify 8 survivors in our community every year in concert with our South Florida Ford dealers and the Ford Warriors in Pink program. We call them our Warriors in Pink. Nancy Brinker, who is the Komen founder, is also a resident here in Palm Beach County. We're really proud that we're her home affiliate. She's always one of our warriors. A lot of people don't know that Nancy's a breast cancer survivor. She was diagnosed shortly after Susie, and she's a survivor. So we have young women newly diagnosed. We have a young woman who is a year out from her diagnosis. We have another survivor that's like a 16-year survivor. They represent the many faces of breast cancer in our community. And we've got a new breast cancer experience that we're going to be adding to the course this year. So those folks that do walk or run are going to have an opportunity to have another way to interact with these survivors, see their story, understand what's important, what they want to communicate, what their platform is of sorts, and then how Komen had a part in their survival and why it's so important for our community to support us.
I think that's wonderful, because it is important to have people who survived it. So if you are if you're not successful in your particular fight, maybe you need to change it up, switch it up, switch up physicians, switch up locations, travel, right?
Right.
I think, you know, one of the things I've noticed too, you said diet, people don't know about that. They need to learn about that. They need to learn about acupuncture. They need to learn about Tai Chi, Qigong, yoga, walking, nature.
Mindfulness.
Alkalinity.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, these are all superfoods.
Right, exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
And also the things we shouldn't do that people really have no clue. Dairy. sitting around being depressed eating ice cream when you're diagnosed is probably not
the
a good
double
idea.
Double whammy,
You know,
exactly.
Drinking a lot of caffeine, draining your adrenals.
Mm-hmm.
Probably
mm-hmm.
not a good idea.
Right.
Too much alcohol, trying to drink away your fears and
doubts. Yeah, self-medicating.
Doubts.
Yes.
Not a good idea.
Not a good idea.
Too much gluten and pasta and white sugar, white flour.
Everything refined. Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Those, not a good idea. So more life.
Yes.
You want to live, probably mm-hmm. consuming more life might be a good idea.
Exactly. Exactly.
I have to definitely plug my book. You know, it's a great book. It's Health and Balance. Find it on Amazon. Just because many people don't have books out there that are written, co-written with Cancer Survivor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And a physician. So
exactly.
This is appropriate because people might need resources.
Absolutely.
So it's been out for a while. It's helped a lot of people. So Amazon.com has the Health and Balance with Dr. Ken Gray, Carol Manglio.
Go get your copy.
Go get your copy. And go to Race for the Cure.
Yes,
and support
please
Susan G. Komen because you guys are doing a good job.
Thank you. You know, we have a new platform called More Than Pink. We mm-hmm. want you to, it's not enough to be quote unquote, air quotes for the radio, aware.
Right.
You need to do something. We want you to act. We want you to donate. Right. We want you to get involved.
And faith in action.
Yes. And we have a bold goal to reduce the mortality from breast cancer by 50% in the next 10 years.
All right.
So nationally, we want that 40,000 number to be 20,000. And then locally, we're looking to cut that number from 316 in half. So we can do it. If we can
do it.
Get people educated and get them screened.
Right. Put your teams together. Let's go.
Yes.
All right. This has been another Maximum Health Quality Living with yours truly, Dr. Ken Gray, holistic physician. And we had Davey Gabbard from Susan G. Komen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.